So I don't know where you want to go, my friend, we do have some railroad rhythms that we are going to be playing. And when do you want
would
to
you
bring
like to do that
in?
Now?
Well, I have. Let's play something. Well, yeah, we could do that. Here, let me.
Or we could play something short while you queue up or something. I don't know.
Well, why don't you just talk? You're a big talker anyway.
So. I'm a big talker. Well,
talk
yeah, let me talk.
She's live.
I do have something to say to the listeners and the management of KZFR. The last show we did was an abomination on my part, and I want to apologize to our listeners because we had discs that were virtually unplayable for the entire show. Luckily, was it Lance or somebody called in, and Tom got a disc, and we tried to wade through this sinking of the Titanic.
No, that was called our general manager, Rick Anderson, who said, what's wrong with you guys? I said, it's Rudd.
And what happened? Not to make excuses, but I have old equipment. And I have a lot of it, and it just started breaking down. And what happened was the master disc in which I make the program for the music that Tom will play was in excellent shape, and I use a secondary duplicator that I've had for years because it's very reliable. Well, unbeknownst to me, it failed. And I didn't check the disc, which was rare, the disc I sent to Tom, because I generally take them around the house and in the cars, and I start playing them everywhere, in the car radio, stereo system, in my system, the little Bose system here, et cetera, et cetera. I make sure they're play, and I play them over and over, both the original disc and backup disc. I didn't do it, and I can't tell you how small I felt when we started failing, but I apologize. And I just wanted our listeners know, because as I said to Rick and Lance, Tom and I take this program very seriously, and we feel honored to have been on the air since 2001. So I apologize for the last screw up.
That's right, and you should apologize, because they're going to dock your pay here on Community
College. Well, zero times zero.
There you go, zero
you
times
know what
zero.
That is.
Okay, so I wanted to do a railroad segment, just a very short segment,
okay.
Kind of in honor of, I like railroads, and so I wanted to observe certain things, and also one of the phrases that we often use is somebody getting railroaded for something, you know, like Obama. Poor Obama during his presidency was railroaded by the Republicans, and now Trump is being railroaded by the Democrats. But we're not going to go into the politics, are we, Thomas?
No, not at all.
And other people, especially in politics, seem to get railroaded. I think you've had some experience over your lifetime.
Well, you know, the phrase, no good deeds go unpunished, comes to mind.
That's true. So I want to do kind of a little observation, especially for my good friend Tom Rudd, for his benefit, of some various railroad themes. So we're going to start with a very short one, and then we are going to launch into two short pieces, an Aaron Copland piece, which we'll come in do a foreword of. I think you're familiar with that, John Henry. And then we have another one that is, well, you're certainly familiar with the Bacchianus Brasileiras. So here is just kind of a little intro.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
So I don't want to go all the way through that. Want everybody, you know, the iconic Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues, but, you know, it brings a certain essence to the theme of the of at least this segment of our show. And the next piece, the railroad-themed piece that I would like to play, is by the American composer Aaron Copland, who died in 1990, and this is called John Henry, a Railroad Ballad.
Thank you.
right. And that was Aaron Copland with his orchestration and composition, John Henry, A Railroad Ballad. And I have to keep on talking here, Thomas, to Durba. And I'm going to...
Who played that, by the way? That was gorgeous.
Well, I don't know who played that. I don't really have that.
Most likely is Copland himself. He did a lot of recordings for CBS in Europe with the London Symphony. It has his sound, but a conductor who is very close to sounding like Copland, of course, is his best friend Leonard Bernstein. It could have been him, but I'm betting that this is most likely a London Symphony under Copland himself, because he did do a complete recording of all his major works for Columbia Records, and it's a very large edition, and it sounds like the London Symphony, at least to my educated ear. So that was gorgeous.
Well,
I have to admit, thank you for that. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Thank you for
or
that.
I may
just
have, but I don't
wonderful.
Think I've ever pulled it out of my collection and actually played it. That was gorgeous.
Thank you for that wonderful commentary that is totally wrong. But the
who played it?
It's the Southwest Radio Orchestra from Kaiserslautern, Germany, southwestern Germany, and Jiří Starek was a conductor, and he apparently completed his musical studies in Prague. He was conductor of the Radio Symphony Orchestra in Prague, and then Prague Radio Orchestra, and he has a lot of chops here. But it was lovely, lovely piece. Well,
where'd you find it?
I ordered it, Rod. I wanted to do I have a couple of bucks. I can afford these things. I still wanted to do a railroad something legitimate, and as well as to, you know, the railroading theme. I should have some bona fide classical music to go along with it. And so actually it just popped up when I just Googled railroad music. There's a ton of railroad music. Like every composer, famous and not famous, has put together any number of different pieces, not all of which I like. But this next piece, you should probably do a little forward promote on this, but it's the Heitor Villa-Lobos, Otrangina de Caipra, Caipra, my Portuguese is rather poor, which means the little train of the countryman, basically a Brazilian train in the jungle. Cute, cute piece. And this is from Villa-Lobos' composition, Bacchianus Brasileiras. And this is also from Southwest Radio.
That's Bacchianus Brasileiras number 2.
That's right. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you.
This is a gorgeous short piece, and it sounds just like a train.
So tell us about us. Can you do a little forward?
Well, basically, you know, Villa-Lobos was a very big fan of Bach, and he wanted to honor Bach by producing these 5 or 6 or whatever number of suites he wrote, and he decided to write, when he wrote the second suite, to put in this piece, using Bach type of tempo, and he mimics this train in I think it's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It's absolutely fun to listen to it, because you'll hear it start, you'll hear it pick up, and then you'll hear it sort of break down. So let's go to it. It's a cute piece. We'll be right back. Brilliant. That was The Little Train of the Brazilian Countrymen. That's how it's translated. It's the toccata movement from the orchestral suite number 2 called Bacanas Brasileiras by Villa-Lobos. It was composed in 1930. It became so popular that it has been transcribed for cello and piano and a cappella chorus. I'd love to hear it that way.
I Googled that, and everybody has, of course, like any classic, any great piece of music, you know, mm-hmm. everybody's out there performing it, and, you know, I haven't listened to all of the different iterations, but it really would be neat. Well, we got to earn our crust here, Tom, but before I do that, I hate to feed your ego, but one of your major fans, I have no fan base, but you have a fan base, Tom, and one of your major fans called in, the Lake Zurichers, you know them, and
yes.
said, what a great show, and she was laughing, having a great time. Please tell Tom how much she's enjoying it. So I said, no, I'm not going to, but then I had overwhelming guilt that came over me. It's
well, for all the compliments I get, can you imagine what that would have been translated into money? No, that's... Well,
you'd be living...
Tom and I both appreciate any listener that enjoys the show. As we said before, we consider ourselves lucky to be on KZFR FM 90.1. We work hard at it, and we enjoy it. It's hard to believe we used to be weekly and then monthly, and retrospectively, whenever you do something that's difficult, when you reflect on it later when you're not doing it as much, I shake my head and think, how did we do it? Because we had a varied program, and as Tom mentioned before, we did it after 9/11, and we changed it in terms of how the program was, and without belaboring it, we've now gotten around to quarterly, and we try to devote it strictly to music and not to the situation within the world, and I think it's better that way. We have a lot more fun.
Yeah, and I'm glad everybody else out there that is listening to us is having fun, too, because we love the music, but
yes.
We still got to earn our crust.
We've got a lot more, and what's the crust that we got to bake? What's going on?
We want to remind everybody out there that Butte Views and Beyond... actually, this is a classical stroll. That's what you get for pre-reading your forward.
I just
explained to Durba how important it is to pre-read and talk about mm-hmm. stupid. So a classical stroll is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001... Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events including Artoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And we also get valuable support from Gale Vineyards, a secluded boutique winery that is just south of Chico in Durham. Gale Vineyards is inspired by old world winemaking to produce well-balanced wines that are sold at their peak of flavor. The Gale Vineyards Tasting Room is open Saturdays and Sundays from noon till 5. For more information, visit galevineyards.com. So...
Well, I want to thank you, Tom, for that. And because I'm restricted as to what I can say, let's just say that what I've gone through over the last year and a half I should have kept a log, okay? And one day we'll be able to talk about it. And I had a lot of help. This gentleman I mentioned, Gregory, who lost his aunt, has been a very not only a good worker for me, but a really good friend in terms of what I had to do to try to get on the ballot other than the usual way when I had to get 10,000 signatures. And I was ready to give up, and this guy, Gregory, wouldn't let me. He himself gathered, I think, 6,000 signatures by himself. But anyway, if we had written a book on what happened and how the machine can get you, and how by thinking you do the right thing, the honest thing, the legitimate thing, and to think that, you know, you will succeed. Well, it's not like Mr. Smith goes to Washington, I'll tell you. It's dirty out there in that swamp that Mr. Trump likes to talk about. It's dirty, and they will throw things at you, and they will do things to you. And being honest in the field of politics is extremely threatening to the powers to be. And you'd be surprised also how some of your so-called political friends abandon you, okay, and you become a pariah. But anyway, there are others who have stuck by me on this, including many, many a lawyer who have offered their services pro bono. And so we will see what happens, and maybe in an upcoming show we can talk further about it. I only wish I had kept notes. My friend Greg is a reporter. I would think that maybe his memory would be good, but there are things that happen that just in great deal. It would be a movie, if not a long book. But anyway.
It's incredible. That's exactly one of the reasons, or probably the reason, I think you touched on it very, very well and very succinctly, actually, mm-hmm. and very politically adept, I might add.
Thank you.
That I wanted to, from a very heavy standpoint for you and your lovely wife, Mary, and I'm glad she's recuperating so well after her hip
she
surgery.
Is. Mary had hip surgery. And it took her 4 years to decide, and it actually turned out to be the best because we didn't know who to go to, and also just to speak a little medically, the procedure usually is done from the posterior side of the human body, and things have changed, and now they do anteriorly, and it's less trauma. And can you believe they put in a new metallic hip, and you go home the same day?
Yeah,
and I've got to tell a funny story.
Please do.
Before we go to anything else, my wife has rarely been operated on, so we went into the surgery at 10 o'clock on a. Well, he actually got there earlier, but the surgery was at 10 on a Friday, and she came out and she looked like she was drunk, and it was messy. And came out of the anesthesia, and I sat there with her from 1 to 5, and she literally stayed in a position, never moved, not even a toe, with her eyes closed, her head slightly tilted back, and her mouth forming a perfect O. Okay. And you could barely see her breathe. And then she came out of it again at 5, and they wanted to send her home, and she complained of dizziness. And I said to the nurse, please don't send her home. You know, let her stay overnight. I said, you know, we can get her into the car, but I may never be able to get her out of the car. And so, sure enough, they kept her over, and the next day she seemed to be better. And then I lectured her, and I said, well, you see, Mary, this is what you get, okay? You didn't abuse drugs in college, and you can't handle a little anesthesia. So if you'd been like the rest of us.
Well, 4 years to make a decision on having hip surgery, at least that's better than her decision marrying you. I thought it took her 10 years to decide that. Or so.
It was instantaneous.
Okay. Well, I'm
anyway,
glad I'm glad that my little railroad
time and not be able to get the Symphony Number 3 by Sibelius in.
Yeah, let me finish my thought here, Thomas.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I'm glad to be able to make a little bit of light of your heavy stuff that mm-hmm. both you and Mary mm-hmm. have had to face. So, what are we going to go to? Number 4, I take it.
All right. Yes, we're going to number 4 in the list. The Symphony Number 3 was an interim symphony. The first two symphonies Sibelius wrote were romantic nationalism. Okay, most people know, or some may not, that Finland was under the yoke of Russia, especially under Tsar Nicholas II. And they're very independent people, and they did not like to be taken over by anybody, especially Russia. So his first two symphonies were nationalistic. And this, you know, once they got their independence, he started writing more pure music. And, you know, as much as I have researched this symphony, there's very little as to what it means, which is very interesting. I mean, I've gone through the literature, and nobody really seems to know what Sibelius was trying to tell us. It is classical in form, meaning the way it is written, except for the fact it has 3 movements instead of 4, although Mozart wrote many a symphony with 3 movements. But it's incredibly beautiful, and it's extremely reflective, especially the second movement, which, when you listen to it, will be a series of what seems like reflections on a gentle theme, a background of just thinking, daydreaming, so to speak. And the music has melodies that are obviously from Finland and tell us of the landscape. But it's gorgeous. I think the best way to describe his symphony would be as Beethoven described his sixth. This is very pastoral, very relaxed, very beautiful. And so let's listen to the Third Symphony by Sibelius under the baton of Lorne Mazel and the Vienna Philharmonic.
Thank you.
You have just heard on KZFR, FM 90.1, was the Symphony No. 3 by Jean Sibelius, played by the Vienna Philharmonic under Lorne Mazel, a very famous set of the complete performances of the seven symphonies by Sibelius, a set that's been around since the early 60s, has never been surpassed, in my opinion, by other conductors because of the orchestra and the recording hall, the Sofenseel, in Vienna. And we heard a symphony that is rarely played. It's recorded a lot, because when they record seven symphonies, they obviously want to do all of them. But you rarely hear this work in the concert hall or even on the radio. There was a, I forget what orchestra was in town, but they did play this. And I remember going with my mother at the time. Mary was taking care of her parents. And we sat like the second row in front of the orchestra on the right side. And when you you heard that second movement with the cellos, boom, 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 boom. Imagine being 4 feet away when that's happening. It's just, it was incredible. Very beautiful symphony. And one more thing. Whenever we have nationalistic or home country orchestras show up at Orchestra Hall, I swear, every Czech, every Russian, every Finn, every Swede comes to hear their orchestra. When a Russian orchestra shows up, you might as well be in Moscow in Orchestra Hall, because every Russian is there, no matter what.
You know, I've been in Moscow twice, actually, and the first time I went there, I listened to a lot of music because I was there by myself on a hematology seminar, of all things, which I cut out of mostly, and they love their music, and I still recall having listened to Tchaikovsky's Rococo Variations, and got back to my room. That was at the, well, in any event, that's, we've talked about that before, but we have to earn our crust here.
Okay.
And we have a guest in the studio still, a soon-to-be programmer, Duriba, and she is going to remind us of who we owe a debt of gratitude to.
A Classical Stroll is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by InTown Campground, located just minutes from downtown Nevada City, providing a new, vibrant camping experience. The historic wooded 15-acre family-friendly campground is just 2 miles from downtown, offering tent sites, RV area with hookups, deluxe canvas tents with electricity, and real beds and linens. For reservations and information, visit intowncampground.com or call 530-265-9900. A Classical Stroll is also made possible by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing sustainable energy for life. Alternative Energy Systems offers residential, commercial, and agricultural solar energy solutions. For more information, call 345-6980 or visit solarenergyforlife.com.
Wow, what a pro. She is so much better than you or me.
I agree.
We should abdicate.
Would you like to join me?
Give it. I'll give up my slot, dude, you know. I'm just your soundboard slave here anyway.
You'd miss, who would you insult?
Yeah, that's right. I'd have to be nice to her.
Exactly right. And vice versa here.
That's right. So, what do you have planned for the last half hour of our show? And let's tell people who we are. I am Tom Resk here in
KZFR,
Chico.
FM 90.1, community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond, and frequently called people-powered radio, KZFR.
And what's your name? I forgot.
This is Tom Rudd.
And where are you at, Tom Rudd?
I'm still in Lake Forest and still free.
I thought we weren't going there. And this is Tom.
Okay. You know what Manarsi gave me for a gift?
What did he give you?
He gave me a
jail
key for handcuffs.
I have a couple of those.
I'm not kidding you. I'm holding it in my hand.
Yeah, I have a couple of those, yeah. You know, thugs have those, too. You got to be, if you're a cop, you got to be very careful.
Yeah. You're asking as if maybe you have something else planned to play otherwise.
Well, I brought some backup stuff. I mean, I do have
well,
that.
Well, that's okay. We have something very special.
Well,
Track 5 is very special. It's an old recording. I still think, despite being old, the beauty of it comes through.